The next coach on the teleconference is Ohio State's Urban Meyer. The Buckeyes are 4-0 overall and visit Indiana at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC. Coach, thank you very much for joining us today. Would you like to make an opening statement or go straight to questions?
Straight to questions, please.
Sounds good. We'll take questions now.
To ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. And our first question comes from the line of Ken Rolda with WHBC Radio.
Urban, when you look back at the offense from last week's game, how much progress did Cardell make, your wide receivers you talked about a little bit last week needed to step up, as well as you as coaches getting on the same page?
I think it was a good week. I think it was a week that we prepared for basically what we saw. You're getting to that point of the year where you'll see minor wrinkles, not complete overhauls. And I think the mythology that went on during a game was very good as well. You know, just it comes with reps. Tim Beck, I thought, did an excellent job.
You're a third of the way through the season, Urban. Are you ahead of schedule, right on schedule, a little bit behind when you looked at it from the beginning of the season to where you are now?
Oh, I never – I'm just trying to go day to day. I think we're fine. I think we're, you know, preparing to play an undefeated team on the road, and we don't – we're just trying to be better tomorrow than we were today or today than yesterday. And I think we're doing that. You know, I feel good every once in a while. Not every once in a while, but there's always something to work on. And the interior run game, run defense, was one that we're working on hard this week. And then, you know, the controlling the line of scrimmage, perimeter run, and play action passing, as we worked on last week, and we were actually very good at it.
Thanks, Urban.
You bet.
Our next question comes from the line of Tom Van Haren with ESPN.com.
Hey, Coach. In terms of recruiting, I know recruits often say, you know, they don't look too much into wins and losses when they actually make their decision. But in terms of winning and losing, you know, it seems like on the extreme side of things, winning big can lend itself, to a bigger pool of recruits that you can go after, and losing maybe, putting together a losing season or a couple losing seasons, it gives questions and concerns from recruits and families. Maybe opposing coaches are able to recruit against that. In your opinion, what makes the bigger impact in recruiting, winning or losing, either positively or negatively? Which one really has the bigger impact?
Wow, that's a deep question. I look at it the same. I want to be around winners. You know, if I hear someone say that, well, you know, I'm not that worried about, you know, if I'll say, you know, we had the chance to really win big here and all that. Now, if I hear someone say that's not real important, we kind of move on. We want people that have a complete, absolute distaste for losing. And I can give great examples over the years that you saw it in them. You know, I'll take a step slower, an inch shorter of someone that is so competitive, whether it be in racquetball or ping pong or whatever. And you can find those kind of guys. And that's what we look for. So I think winning big has obviously a big part of recruiting.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Teddy Greenstein with Chicago Tribune.
Hey, Coach. Cardell obviously had some underthrows. Why do you think that occurred, and is it a very easy fix?
I don't think anything's an easy fix. I think certainly he has the capability. That was one of his strengths last year, and that's something that we're going to work really hard. I was really impressed at our guys, our receivers, you know, because we haven't really taken that many shots downfield. To see us behind them that many times was real positive. So it's certainly fixable, but nothing's an easy fix.
And just a philosophical question on injuries. What in general are you comfortable releasing to the public and media, and what do you try to keep under wraps?
I've never really thought of it, keeping under wraps. I have an obligation to the families first and our players, then obviously our football team, and then everyone else next. And but I think we're usually pretty good. I've never – if a kid's out, I usually tell you guys or say it's doubtful, because you don't want to proclaim a kid out and there's a chance he's going to play. So I never really thought much about it, to be honest with you. So, but I always like to – I get upset when I hear sources say that so-and-so, and I want to find out who those sources are and get rid of them, because I think you have an obligation to the families to make sure they're all settled in before you announce anything.
And do you feel like if you let people know, it's less likely to be sources if you can just – shoot straight with the public, then, you know.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think sometimes I take a little longer because, like I said, I want to make sure everything's covered and the doctor talks to the family and all that before we release it. And we had one early, you know, when Noah Brown went down. And,
yep.
but sometimes kids tweet stuff out too. So I don't, be honest, I don't really get concerned over all that stuff.
Thank you.
Yep.
Our next question comes from the line of Tim May with Columbus Dispatch.
Hey, Urban, two quickies. Number one, Adolphus Washington, as he said just last week, it was pretty obvious once Joey Bosa showed up, he better switch to another position or he probably wasn't going to get to play. I'm talking about Adolphus saying himself doing that. Have you, what is the growth you've seen in him more than anything else in this move to defensive tackle?
Adolphus is one of the best kids I've ever been around. He is a very serious guy. He's a guy that loves this program, loves his family, and I mean, we're extremely close. And he's got a future in football, and it's not a defensive end. It's it is as an inside guy, and
yeah.
He knew that. And then also, he really loves his football team, and at the time, that was his best opportunity to help our team.
And the other thing, you gave Jalen Marshall a big hug when he came off the field after the touchdown last week on that, 45-yard catch. What do you see growth-wise in him, both on and off the field, that you can point out?
Yeah, he's a guy that, it's never been easy for him, and that's all his own doing. He comes from really good people. He's extremely intelligent, and when he grinds, he's a grinder, and he's starting to really grow through the immaturity that he was that we experienced when he first got here. So I like the trajectory he's on right now, and that's I'm very pleased with the way he's working.
Thanks, man.
Our next question comes from the line of Bill Landis with Cleveland.com.
Yeah, Urban, I know in the past you've talked about sort of how you've developed your offensive philosophy over the years, and I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that part of that was either visiting or studying Coach Kevin Wilson when he was at Northwestern. Can you maybe tell me a little bit about that? What, if anything, you took from studying Northwestern back when Coach Wilson was there?
Sure. Northwestern, under Randy Walker, made a complete transformation from an I formation to the Clemson. They went to Clemson and met with Rich Rodriguez, who's a very good friend of mine. And we played Northwestern when Kevin Wilson was there, and I saw it firsthand. We didn't really slow him down. So we did study him. We did visit with him. We share similar philosophies, and he's adapted over the years too. And when he went to Oklahoma, we played him in the national championship game, and we're friends, and I admire him as a coach, and I think he's doing a great job.
And I know you've talked about visiting Louisville. I know that and how that was a 4-day trip and things like that. Do you remember anything about visiting with Coach Wilson? Anything stick out in your mind? I know it was quite a few years ago, but
yeah, I actually did go on that trip. Greg Brandon went there, at Northwestern, and I can't tell you other than I know we studied him relentlessly for Zach Kustak was our quarterback, and they were dynamic, and so I remember studying him in great detail.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from the line to Bill Rabinowitz with Columbus Dispatch.
Yes, Urban. You're on the road this week, and lately you guys have been much better on the road. Do you have any explanation for that?
Much better on the road.
Away from Columbus, at least. Obviously the postseason last year, Virginia Tech.
Oh, you mean we're playing well on the road?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to disappoint you, Bill. Just really good players that you go on the road with not very good players, we have a problem. There's part of me that at times really enjoys going on the road. You get to get away. You get with, just the heart and soul of your team and go play in the enemy territory. So I know our players at times, of course it doesn't compare to being home, but there is something special about going on someone's turf and playing well.
And kind of on the flip side, you guys have had, I think it's 15 turnovers in the last six games. How much of a concern is that? What can you do to try to reverse that?
Oh, we certainly is a concern, and we are addressing it, and we work hard at it. We've had two turnovers, two interceptions last week, both on underthrown balls. So we're just – that's kind of falling into the same – they weren't misreads. The week before we had a couple misreads, but these were underthrown balls, so we're going to work hard at not underthrowing balls.
Thanks, Irvin.
You bet.
Coach, thank you very much for your time today, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.